Good afternoon, Bay Area. I know it feels like the world is on fire, but we're going to take some time for joy today. So welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darton, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, actress and hip-hop artist Ryan Nicole talks about her musical, co-founders, and her new album. Then a documentary about a freedom fighter who led Cape Verde to independence. And June is Black Music Month, and we're still celebrating Juneteenth. Today's show is about hip-hop and liberation. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darton. Co-Founders has been getting a lot of buzz in the Bay Area theater scene. The hip-hop musical is about a young, brilliant coder who wants to make it big in the tech industry and make enough money to save her childhood home in West Oakland. So she hacks into the admissions list of a prestigious accelerator program. An accelerator program provides mentorship and support to founders launching their startup and helps their businesses grow faster. Ryan Nicole is an actress and Grammy-nominated hip-hop artist from Oakland. She co-wrote and co-stars in Co-Founders. She is part of the KALW family. Ryan and I used to work together on KALW's East Oakland Community and Reporting Program several years ago. I saw Co-Founders at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, and I absolutely loved it. The show is running until July 6th, and I was excited to talk to her about this new production. Miss Ryan Nicole.
Hey, Janae.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ryan, I am so excited. You know, I'm a fan of yours.
And I'm a fan of yours.
When I heard, that makes me feel so happy.
It's true.
I just, you know, and we worked together, you know, in the past here at KLW. Girl, when I heard you for writing a musical, I said, Ryan and wrote a musical. And then I saw the musical, I said, and she done wrote a good one.
Thank you, Janae. Thank you. I can't take all the credit. I got co-writers, but thank you. It's been a labor of love, 8 years in the making. And
wow,
we're really proud of what it came out to be.
You all did a fabulous job, so definitely shout out to you and your co-writers, Bo Lewis and Adisha Adefala. So how did you become a part of this project?
I'm the third part of the Bar team. We go by Bo, Adisha, Ryan, B-A-R, Bar. I was the one to bring up the rear about several months after Adisha had joined Bo in the pursuit of writing a new revision to his show. He started this show off about 8 years ago as a freestyle therapy session for founders. Honestly, he loves hip hop. He was kind of a closeted MC and a full-time co-founder of a tech startup called Goldie Blocks. And him and his friends, who were also co-founders, were just, you know, fronting in the world like they were making it and struggling behind closed doors. And then they would go underground and rap about their woes. And they found after several sessions that they had kind of a through line and a story there. So they wrote a show called Zip Sloth, which was kind of the threading of these different narratives about being in a startup culture, all of that. And it was about two white guys who came to the Bay Area to chase their entrepreneurial dreams. Then Adisha joined the show and played the sloth. And some wise counsel told Bo and Adisha, hey, if you're going to tell a story about the Bay Area, you might want to, and you're going to rap about it, you might want to include Ryan Nicole. So through a friend named Frack, who is like an underground hip hop legend, he told Bo, you should reach out to Ryan. And that word got to David Diggs, who got to me, and I was like, well, if David says that I should join, maybe I should give this, you know, the light of day. And so
And this is David Diggs from Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. Friend of mine, you know, colleague. And so I talked to Bo, and we had like a long conversation about what it means to create art in this region, and, you know, what it means to not be extractive. And after I think we had like a 3-hour meeting over burritos, he was like, hey, I don't think I want to pursue this work, but I don't think I should do it without you. Silicon,
76 wives, Niak and Jive, Star Apple in a Cupertino garage.
Yo, by 7-6, we was already lit.
Let them know, sis.
Black Panther Party for Self-Defense had its genesis 10 years prior in 1966. Cause of brutality in West Oakland, encroachment by the pigs. And that collusion sparked the people's revolution. From Berkeley to the city, the queers to the students. La Raza y la Causa, Viva Chavez, Cochiyama. I don't mean a name drop, but the people in their power got Steve Jobs to think different. Not the other way around. The bite in the apple, that's the town's imprint.
The town was Chuck Johnson.
So the musical is about a young tech genius who lives in West Oakland. Her name is Asada.
Yes.
And she hacks into like the biggest accelerator program in the Bay Area. Yes. And aside from co-writing this, you are also acting in this because you don't have enough to do. And so and so you play her cousin, right? Kamaya.
Yes.
Kamaya is a hustler.
Yes.
And she has a nail business. She's an inspiring venture capitalist, an investor. She's very blunt. She reminds me a lot of you, Ryan,
really?
Too. You know.
Really?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, just her persistence and just, you know, keeping it real and just always like doing different things. That's where why she reminds
no
me.
No doubt.
Not the questionable hustles that she does, but just
no, there've been questionable hustles in the past for sure.
Was it fun to play her? Because she's funny too.
I'm having a ball playing Kamaya. So many of the roles that I played in my career, and let me not diminish or throw shade on the roles that I've played in the past. They have been beautiful opportunities, but so many of them are fraught with sadness or death. You know, I've died in more roles than I can count. I got tired of being sad. And that was one of the charges. I wanted to make sure that this show, while it explores all aspects of life, that it left us with some solutions and it left us with some hope. And that I played a character that was always buoyed by possibility. It's so great to have the depiction of Black women, both Asada and Kamaya, who are persistent, who see themselves in the future, who don't take no for an answer and find ways to navigate. Because that's honestly the Black women that I know in my life. They figure out ways to navigate through the barriers that are set up against them. And they do it in creative and buoyant ways.
Yeah, and definitely she's very creative. And she's very positive, too.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's why I said she kind of reminds me. All of those things. And she can rap.
And she can rap.
Like you. Because she is you.
Because I am playing her, yes. And I had a role in writing her.
We still winning. It's come up time. Big bank on the line. You cooking with hot grease now, kid.
Fire.
You can't be acting like a small
no.
fry. It's come up time. Big bucks on the line. I see you on Black Enterprise, girl. You a star on the rise.
Do you think people are going to come to this musical?
For those just joining us, I'm speaking with Ryan Nicole. She co-wrote and co-stars in the musical Co-Founders and is running at the ACT Theater in San Francisco until July 6th. And you might want to get your tickets now because they are selling and this show definitely lives up to all the hype that we've been hearing for the past 6 months. You know, Co-Founders hits home about gentrification and displacement. Asada, she works with a guy named Conway, and he's white and from the East Coast. She's Black from West Oakland. She also, too, is trying to get into this accelerator program so she can, you know, make it big and save her home, her family home in West Oakland. And Conway and Asada, to me, they represented or made me question, you know, how do longtime Bay Area residents and new people who have moved here, how do they work together?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, part of the gripe that I feel as a third generation Oaklander, as I watch people move in, is not that they're new, is not that they're coming in. It's that they don't have a curiosity about where they're coming and a willingness to hear and partner with the changes that need to happen in order to make the place, you know, the place that we all want to live in. So many people have come and become extractors of the culture, extractors of all of the great things, And then once they're done, they go, you know, they leave the city and they leave it like locusts would leave a field. And so, you know, one of the things that I think is a redeeming quality about Conway, even though he comes in wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, fully naive, and misnaming so many of our special places, right? He has a curiosity and wants to figure out how to be a part of the creative landscape and the innovative landscape that he lands in, and not, you know, come in and assume that he has the best ideas. I think gentrification has a lot to do with folks who come in with not just the money to displace, but also an attitude of displacement. And so we're trying to display an example in our show of what it means to come into a city like Oakland or, you know, any place in America or any place in the globe and contribute, because we're all transplants when it comes down to it.
And the Bay, especially Oakland, we're so innovative. We push the culture globally.
Yes.
And Asada comes up with some technology. And I love this idea of, and I thought of it before you all even said it in the musical. There's artificial intelligence and there's ancestral intelligence.
Yes.
Because she makes this AI program of her deceased father. And Ryan, I heard you say in a video or interview that the technology that you all, because the technology is amazing in this production.
Thank you.
And how this is like really going to change theater. Can you speak on that?
Yeah. So we have had the benefit of partnering with these two brothers, David and Ryan Richardson, who are geniuses and innovators in their craft. They are video directors and designers. They produced a show called Cages in LA. It opened like literally a month before the pandemic. And because the technology was so phenomenal, they stayed open during the pandemic and sold out by strictly word of mouth. People were willing to sit shoulder to shoulder with each other to watch this show in LA, in a warehouse in LA. And Bo chased after David for months and bought tickets to the show almost every night until David finally was like, yeah, let's take a meeting. What are you trying to do? Bo convinced all of us that we needed to incorporate this technology. And we got a chance to go down and see the show. And I was sold from the first scene. The show itself was like a long form music video and a little bit different than the traditional theatrical art. So we took David and Ryan's technology a step further and assured that we had an actor playing the avatar as opposed to a video that a live actor engages with on screen. We wanted the performances to be new. We wanted to make sure we didn't take a job away from an actor and that we offered actors a new technology and a new opportunity to put a feather in their cap. So the actor who plays Davatar is Tommy Solati Shepherd. He'll be able to say, you know, he is able to engage and interact with a digital interface as a live actor. He'll be able to say he's the first person to do it as far as we know.
Yeah, that it definitely added to the show. But again, if the technology wasn't there, it was still good because the music is so good. I was just rocking in my seat and snapping my fingers. And I was like, hey.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? That you do the Bay Area bird call.
Because it's so good. And I have the EP. So for people, you know, if you want to take some of the music home with you after you see it. And Adisha's in there. E40's on the EP.
Yes.
Fur, who is an amazing singer. I love his music. Stunnaman, B. DuVoe, who I've interviewed as well. So many good people that are part of this. Of course, Ryan Nicole herself. There's so many good Bay Area artists that are on the soundtrack. Ryan, you worked on this for 8 years.
Yes.
What are you most proud of?
I'm proud that y'all are proud. That's what it comes down to. You know, I was hoping with all of my heart that my community would see themselves, that they would see possibility and feel reflected in the excellence that we try to portray. There is no reason why we shouldn't have an industry here that rivals, in terms of entertainment, that rivals the industries around the globe and around our nation. The talent has always been here. In fact, it's always exported from here. You know, any band that you may have known over decades, you know, has been comprised of some Bay Area superstar. And, you know, we're at a time where the Bay Area's theater scene, it's losing all its magic. You know, we've had several theaters close. American Conservatory Theater took a blow in losing its conservatory and its master's program. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that we launched a show in this region that proved that in spite of our very challenging economic times, that we still have everything that is needed to make this industry happen. We just have to make it happen through some non-traditional means. And these are non-traditional times, so why not?
Well, again, Ryan, congratulations. I know it took 8 years, but it was worth the wait. Thank you.
Thank you, Janae. Thank you.
This is the Bay. This is the Bay. This is
That was actress, hip hop artist, and writer Ryan Nicole. You can see co-founders at the ACT Theater in San Francisco, and it wraps on July 6th.
Be looking at me crazy because I'm always fighting for you. Many left your rainy days.
Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden. As Juneteenth festivities wind down, another group in the African diaspora is gearing up for a big celebration. Next month, Cape Verdeans will celebrate the 50th anniversary of their independence. Portugal colonized the island country that's located off the coast of West Africa. One of the major leaders who helped Cape Verdeans reach independence was Amilcar Cabral. Mr. Cabral was a college-educated agronomist, and he used a term called class suicide, which means someone who abandons their class privilege and aligns themselves with working-class people. Raqui Holman, also known as Hip, is a hip-hop artist and does social justice work in the Bay Area. He's originally from Boston but lives in Oakland. Amilcar Cabral is his great cousin. Hip created the documentary Honoring Amilcar. It will screen at the New Parkway Theater in Oakland on July 5th, which is the date of Cape Verde's independence. And I spoke with Hip about Amilcar Cabral's legacy. Raqui Hip Holman, welcome.
Right on. Thank you. Much appreciated. I appreciate y'all for having me.
I'm happy you're here. And first, I just want to share with people how we met.
Yeah, come on. Talk about that.
We met at the Star Trek convention this year, or in January 2025.
That's right.
And the funny, I kept running into you. And then, like, our rooms were next to each other. And it was so weird.
I think you said you heard me blasting like NPR or something like that.
Yeah, I woke up and I was like, who is blasting? Wait, don't tell me. And then like, it was so weird. We both exited our rooms at the same time and looked at each other and started cracking up.
Exactly.
And I keep running into you, you know.
Shout out to all my blurbs out there, you know.
yes, and the Trekkies too as well.
Right.
So, but I think the first time I met you, you told me about Amilcar Cabral.
Yeah.
So tell people who this man was, Amilcar Cabral, your great cousin that you call uncle.
Yes, he's my third cousin. So he and my grandmoms were first cousin. Grandmoms on pop's side, right? And Amilcar Cabral is recognized as the main leader for the liberation movement of Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde, which I think is, to a lot of people, extremely unique because, I mean, he was fighting for the liberation of two countries. He was actually assassinated 2 years before I was born, believe it or not. And then we went on, Cape Verde in particular, went on to get our independence 10 days before I was born. And I love telling people that I don't celebrate the 4th of July because I celebrate the 5th of July, which is, you know, Cape Verde's Independence Day. I also like to say for part of my lineage, I was born free, you know what I'm saying, because of that. And yeah, Amilcar Cabral, I'm surprised to know what people know. There are a lot of folks in the movement who are familiar with him, you know, Black folks in the movement, because they studied him, right?
Yeah, like Angela Davis.
That's right, right. There are so many, it's like there are so many touch points, like where to begin. He's an incredible theoretician. Even in his younger days, he was like a poet. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like he wrote straight up poetry. I mean, he developed curricula. It was like a full-on blueprint for revolution and upliftment.
What was interesting about, and I'm still learning about him, and I hadn't heard of him till I met you. And he grew up pretty privileged, right? Because he went to university in Portugal, in Lisbon.
Yes.
But why did he become an activist? Because he didn't have to. I mean, his parents, you know, they were, from what I read, seemed like they were, you know, doing well. And then he was college educated.
It's funny you would hone in on that and pick up on that. Did you come across the terminology class suicide?
Yes, you mentioned that in your documentary.
Yeah. So he got radicalized, I believe, you know. I think that's it. When he went to school, I think there's like a piece of, in his history, like when he went to school and started meeting with other Africans, I know they were actually following up from, I just learned this recently. One of the kind of touch points for his radicalization was meeting other African students while he was in college. And they were reading this magazine called, I think it was like Presence Africaine or something like that. But it was like this magazine that lifted up poetry and, you know, because there was a Lusophone revolution happening at the time, right? It wasn't just Cape Verde and Guinea-Bissau. It was Angola, Mozambique, and all these other countries, you know what I'm saying, that were coming together. And even Portugal itself, you know, that's the thing that's unique about these, as they call them, Lusophone revolutions that happened in West Africa at the time, was the European, the Portuguese European folks were like, yo, we agree with y'all. Our government is fascist. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So they joined in. And there's a famous Carnation revolution that took place in Portugal against the Portuguese fascist government there too. So I think when he was in college, he was reading, you know, building with these, with his peers and whatnot. I think that's when he got radicalized. And it's interesting because you even see this today with Cape Verdeans. You know, there are still some who identify as Portuguese, you know, colonized mentality personally. But then there are some Cape Verdeans who, you know where Cape Verdean, but then there are some Cape Verdeans who are like, we are African, and they acknowledge that, you know, they are African people. And that is, that's where Amilcar found himself at that, you know, at that age, that stage where, you know, you're still developing your beliefs and whatnot. You know, you think about anybody going to college, right?
Yeah. And I know, and he was studying Marxism and all kind of, I just thought it was interesting because I was like, he didn't have to, you know, he didn't have to do that. He was a unique revolutionary to me from what I read, in the sense that, again, he grew up privileged, or had some privilege, and he was around farmers, right? And that's why he also too, I forget, remind me what he studied again?
Agronomy.
Yes. And so he was around a lot of, farmers, and then that played a part in it. And then it was armed.
Exactly.
It was an armed revolution.
Exactly. The fact that we had a successful Black African armed revolution against colonizers in the last 50 years is something that is extremely important to highlight and bring back to people's memory. The piece about him being an agronomist, there's another piece in there too that I think is absolutely fascinating and a really brilliant tactic. So to this point about committing class suicide, you know, he was, I think, I don't know if he really was commissioned or received a grant to go around and study the different agronomy practices of different tribes, you know what I'm saying, in Guinea-Bissau and whatnot. And so he's going around, he's meeting with these different tribes and these different folks. And it's okay. So he, as a matter of fact, I think I remember reading somewhere that he developed this kind of new irrigation technique where you would have terraced rice paddies where the water would kind of roll down one to feed the other. Because particularly I know in Cape Verde is a desert island.
Oh, Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, it's a desert island. It's weird. It's funny. You know, Cabo Verde means green cape. It's kind of an ironic name for those islands. They're usually dry and brown. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he developed this kind of revolutionary irrigation farming tactic, but all the while he was actually going and he was meeting with these different tribes, he was also seeding revolution because he was meeting with these tribes and he was talking about and recruiting actually for the PAIGC. You know, that's the Party for African Independence for Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Raqui Hip Holman. His documentary, Honoring Amakar, is about the Cape Verdean revolutionary Amakar Cabral. And you can watch it at the New Parkway Theater in Oakland on July 5th, which is also the 50th anniversary of Cape Verde's independence. You know, your documentary is about how he inspired other activists here in the U.S. Why did you want to take that approach when making this film?
That is a really good question. The creation of this documentary and why it came about, I think, is why I took that approach, Janae. So I'm a member of a Cape Verdean organization called Cape Verdean West Association. And someone in the organization approached me. Shout out to my man, Vern, who approached me and told me about, it's a long title. Give me a second. African Studies of Associations of Africa conference. And it's their sixth annual conference. And it's happening, you know, they hold it in different African countries every year. And because Cape Verde is celebrating our 50th, you know, they decided to hold it there, right? Mm-hmm. So as a submission for you know, a piece in the conference, I put together this documentary. And you know, I think the conference focuses on all these different issues that are happening throughout the diaspora, new technologies. And they were also looking for like art pieces and whatnot too. And it was a trip because I realized, you know, I've been to Cape Verde probably like four times now. And all along I had been kind of like filming different kind of like historical aspects of my own, you know, of my own heritage, but also Cape Verdean heritage, right? So I had like a lot of good B-roll for a documentary about Amilcar Cabral, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that focusing particularly on, because I think I also seen different documentaries on him, and they're usually in Portuguese or Criollo, mm-hmm. you know? But I don't think I've ever really seen any that focused on Black folks in the United States.
And he was assassinated by someone in his own party?
It was a Guinea-Bissauan who killed him. Mm. And they were put up to it by the equivalent of, I guess, what you call like the Portuguese kind of CIA, right?
Right.
Or the Portuguese police. So they pitted them against each other, you know, typical fashion, you know, somebody who's unprincipled in the movement, offer resources, offer money, you know, pit people against each other. It's interesting though, Janae, because I got mixed feelings about the fate of Guinea-Bissau and the fate of Cape Verde. Because while both of those movements were tied together and connected, Cape Verdeans ended up faring better. Like if you look at the countries now and you see who's better off, Cape Verde is better off than Guinea-Bissau is, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was this kind of divide and conquer move that the Portuguese used. Mm. Where they would be like, you know, you know, Cape Verdeans, you all are better than your mainland African brethren in Guinea-Bissau because you're half Portuguese. So they almost tried to create like this overseer caste. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Cape Verde, those islands were not populated by anybody. There was no one on those islands. Like Cape Verdeans are a created people. Yeah. Technically, like there were no native Cape Verdeans because all 10 of those islands were not inhabited by anyone. The Cape Verdean people, if you want to really trace their roots, they're most, I think they're coming from like the Mandinka and the Fulani people in West Africa. And these Portuguese people came in and, you know, through the slave trade and, you know the history.
Okay. So they brought them to that island to labor.
Right.
Okay. Because when I see Cape Verdeans, a lot of times they're fair, lighter skinned mm-hmm. and have like a looser, curly hair. So that's where, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, you do a lot of work in restorative justice and in music and in art. And, you know, you do a lot of positive work in the community. And which, ironic, you know, you're related to someone who was an activist who helped liberate not only one, but two countries. How do you want to carry on Amilcar Cabral's legacy?
That is a beautiful question. And I mean, a lot of it is actually, I want young people to know, you know, again, this was an armed revolution where Black folks actually rose up against their oppressor and got their liberation. This happened, it's not ancient history, you know, it's as old as I am, right? So I want people to know, young people to know that, to learn that, and to take what's useful, take what's successful, and apply it however you can. I talk about in the documentary too, like some of the work that I've done, like my guaranteed income program, and you know, I have a restorative justice curriculum that I do with city EMT, Black and Brown city EMT students in San Francisco. Shout out to Dusty's Well. And, you know, even the work that I do at Community Works, right? Where, you know, we're an organization that works with people who are impacted by the criminal legal system in California, right? So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I agree with Michelle Alexander when she said, you know, mass incarceration is the second civil rights fight in this country. But yeah, you know, this work, the through line, restorative justice and social justice go hand in hand.
Well, congratulations on the film.
Thank you. I really, again, I appreciate you all for having me on.
That was artist Rakhi Hip Holman. Watch his documentary honoring Amilcar at the New Parkway Theater in Oakland on July 5th. Next up, Ryan Nicole comes back to talk about her new grown woman rap album. Keep it locked right here. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darton. That music you hear is from Ryan Nicole's new EP, Yours Truly. Earlier, we heard the actress, musical writer, and hip-hop artist talk about her musical co-founders, but she gets very personal on her new album. I call Yours Truly grown folks hip-hop because she raps about things like juggling motherhood and marriage, mental health, her insecurities and desires, and her concerns about all of the craziness happening in our world today. I spoke with Ryan Nicole about being so open on this album. Ryan Nicole, I'm ready to dig into this new EP.
Okay, let's talk.
Yours Truly. All right, so 2025 has been a big year for you.
Yes.
You not only have this big musical co-founders, but you also released a very personal album, Yours Truly. And I read that you wrote it in 30 days.
I did. So, Dochi did the same thing, and I was just kind of following her journey for her last album and was really inspired and thought, well, I should try that as well. She read The Artist's Way, and The Artist's Way has a command that basically if you spend 30 days doing anything, you'll improve your life markedly. And so I thought, let me try, you know, seeing what I can record in 30 days. And that's what Yours Truly is, what came of it.
I would have not known that you had recorded it in 30 days if I hadn't read that. Did you write the songs too in 30 days?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
The benefit of having producers at my, you know, at my behest was that I was able to pull some beats down. So you got some stuff from Kev Choice on there, some producers that I've worked with that are international from the internet. Yeah. And just kind of was able to pull it together in a short amount of time.
And again, it was very personal. Is this your most personal project?
I would say so. You know, the benefit of having done it in 30 days is the fact that you can't really edit yourself. You can't really stop and go like, well, I shouldn't say that or whatever. And so what came of it feels more like a journal entry and a diary entry than anything I've ever released before, because I wasn't able to be critical in that amount of time.
I remember it's a part on Yours Truly, the actual title track, where you say something, you're like, I shouldn't say that.
And, yeah.
You know what part I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that is actually the most personal track of the album. It's really about suicide awareness. You know, many people in the past 5 years in my life have taken their lives. And yeah, whether they're close relationships or people, you know, that are connected to people that I really love, there's been this wives' tale that the Black community doesn't commit suicide. And I'd say since the pandemic, I've learned that that's really not true at all.
Dear. Speak my mind, gotta overcome the fear. Convince myself this is stuff you even wanna hear. Get over the idea, no one really cares. Surrender to my purpose, reason why I'm really here. If this should reach an ear of a lady with some pills inside a hand, or a man, gun up to his head. If the likes and spikes on TikTok, on Instagram, it's me and you right now, I hope you know I understand. Despite how it looks today, I've been down at the bottom of the sea and see I'm nowhere to be found. Rocks inside my pocket, sitting on the ocean floor, contemplating choices. Should I swim or should I drown? I'm reaching out right now to lift up your chin, my friend, pull you out. Grab hold your hand and land on solid ground. You are not alone, no, you are not without, no doubt. Sincerely, yours truly.
Was that hard for you to record? Because it sounded...
It was tough. Yeah, it was tough. That was the song that I had the biggest questions about, but I knew, well, this is really the title of the album. This is, you know, if I'm going to give people me, I have to open up some of the darkest recesses of myself. And so, yeah, recording it was difficult, but I had the benefit of recording at Infinite Studios with Mike Denton and Anthony Perez. They also recorded our EP project for Co-Founders. And so I had created an intimacy with them over the course of our EP project for Co-Founders that I felt comfortable recording this project with them as well.
This is a grown woman album.
Yes, ma'am.
To say it about partying in the club and making it rain and all that kind of stuff. This is mature hip hop. There's a verse on the song Peace Be Still where you say, wear so many hats, mama, wifey, and a daughter. Never mind, I'm just a woman. Everybody need a warrior. I need a nap and a beachfront vacation. I was like... I was snapping.
Right on, yeah.
When, especially when you said, never mind, I'm just a woman. Yeah. Everybody need a warrior. And I said, Ryan Nicole, you preaching.
Gotta live some life to understand that.
I'm a no tight beat in a tight beat time. Anachronistic, out of time, traveling out of mind. When I'm at my best, I'm untethered. Lately, I'm tied down. So you get my atypic mid-type for now. To be specific, I've been acting out my trauma. Waiting for a window, procrastinate tomorrow. Wear so many hats, mama, wifey, and a daughter. Never mind, I'm just a woman. Everybody need a warrior. I need a nap and a beachfront vacation. Time to ease my mind, passionate, love making. No expectations, phone calls or emails. Don't ask me for nothing. You choose the meal, you skip the details. I skip some seashells, we tell. The butler put the rosé on ice, chill. This is the life I've been patiently working for. But time is not a given, I can't wait no more. I'm kicking down the door, please pardon the disruption. Swallowing volcanoes overdue for an eruption. A woman interrupted is a rarely finished sentence. They told me ADD, I just think I'm fragmented. You get the picture piece by piece. I need a chance to increase my
pain. I've been joking my whole life. I feel like I've been 40 years old. So I finally arrived to like the age that I've been my entire life. But, you know, it feels like this project was one where, again, I didn't censor myself. And that has a lot to do with just my maturity. Just I don't care. And I remember my mom telling me when I was younger, you know, you're going to reach an age one day where you don't care what people think. And that's where you're going to feel really liberated. And that's when you're actually going to have something, you know, important to share. because you're not going to be censoring yourself, and you're going to be your realest self. And that's really where I feel like I am in my life. I don't care what people have to say, because we're all going through some things. You know, we all struggling out here. Mm-hmm. And what we need is less pretense and more authenticity. This perimenopause, like, that's going to be the next album.
I said, I hope she does a menopause album.
I'll do a perimenopause album. We'll start talking about why am I sweating so much? And why am I so angry all the time?
Right. You're talking about perimenopause and even just rapping about that. And I was watching a podcaster. It might have been Van Lathan. And he was questioning, why do we expect all hip hop just to be by and about young people? Right. And, you know, we're okay with, like, rock music having mature themes and, you know, artists that are older. But we expect, you know, just youth in hip hop. And, like, hip hop, you know, those of us grew up in hip hop 40s, 50s, 60s now, right? And I'm thinking of you, MC Light, Jay-Z, you all have put out albums with themes about being a certain age. And so what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the progenitors of hip hop made a mistake in ducking out of the game when they got older. And I don't know what all the conditions were for each one of them, but, you know, I think they kind of set up the expectation that hip hop is a young person's game. And, you know, it has a lot to do with the lifestyle connected to the hip hop. Like, you know, we don't always need to be in the club. We can't be running around and jumping off cars and jumping off of yachts and all, you know, it's too much. And so I think people stuck with that identity and that narrative for hip hop. But the reality is, hip hop is the youngest genre. I think some of the second generation of hip hop heads have realized, like, it's the youngest genre and it should grow with us. The reason why, you know, blues and jazz and rock and roll are able to age is because they recognize, well, we are aging and we want to stick with our music. Hip hop is aging. Hip hop is in its 50s now. We want to stick with our music. And if the music is going to be here, if the genre is going to be here for another 50 years, then it has to grow up and accommodate the folks that are aging with it and the young people, and hold the entire audience that it encompasses.
I was at LL Cool J's 50th and hip hop 50th anniversary concert in San Francisco, and Ice-T came on stage, and, you know, he was talking about, I'm 60 years old.
It's true. It's really true. You know, there's grandpas and grandmas, yeah, in hip hop, and, you know, and what a blessing to be grown, because a lot of us don't make it.
Yeah.
So we should be talking about what it takes to make it, and what it means to be at this ripe old age, or whatever,
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, that's true. Know? A lot of us didn't make it to be grown. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Ryan Nicole. She co-wrote and co-stars in the musical Co-Founders and is running at the ACT Theater in San Francisco until July 6th. So get your tickets now, and it definitely lives up to the hype. But right now, we're chatting about her new album, Yours Truly. Okay, so one of my favorite songs on this very personal album is Guard Down. You know, I was going to mention this, about meeting your husband, Michael,
yes,
who I remember I met years ago in high school, because we were both student, yes, council presidents. He was president at Bishop O'Dowd, and I was student council president at St. Elizabeth High School. So I've known y'all for a long time. And so let me read one of my favorite lines. Thought I would give him some action and put him in rotation. And now...
Not reading it like this. Okay, go ahead.
I can't rap, so I just had to read it, you know. And now it's two kids and 15 years later. So, Ryan, girl, you were going through your garden utensil phase. Rhymes with
yes,
toe, because I can't bleep myself. Starts with an H, rhyme with toe. You were going through your toe phase.
Yeah. Or so I thought. That's the thing. I thought I was going to be get into that phase. I have been such a good girl my entire life leading up to meeting my husband. And, I'd been like serial monogamist and, you know, saving myself and all of these things. And I just kept meeting people that just weren't the one. I won't say they were jerks, but they were definitely preparing me for what I needed to ask for in my romantic life. And so I had just grown tired of just dating guys who I just weren't right for me. And I was living in Oakland and recognizing that, you know, brothers out here was definitely on some other type of time, on some pimp type stuff and not buying women drinks. And I said, you know what? Later for the good girl. This ain't working for me. And somehow God heard that and knew that I was convicted in my heart and was like, nope, not you. You're not going through that phase. And I thought Michael would be the first one that I'd take down in that phase, and it ended up being the first and the last.
How you catch me with my guard down? I guess you're moving in my heart now. We'll bring your bags and come on in, child. Yeah. I'm giving you the key. It's just you and me ever after happily. How you catch me with my guard down? Yeah. I guess you're moving in my heart now. Yeah. We'll bring your bags and come on in, child. Yeah.
Yeah, he caught me with my guard down. I didn't think that I have my heart open, but I did. And he slid right in there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I said, was your guard down or was your heart open?
My heart was open. My heart was open. And I think that's the reality is that, you know, he is extremely gifted. You know, he's a beautiful man inside and out. And I think he just disarmed me immediately. You know, he made me laugh. He was intelligent, on top of being devastatingly handsome. And he was a combination I hadn't met before.
Yeah.
And it had my heart wide open.
I always love seeing you all out, you know, you with your two kids and your family. So, and I'm glad it worked out for you because you both are nice people. So. Yeah,
Thank you. Y'all both good people.
And this album is fire. And thanks for having the vulnerability and the courage to put this
out
there.
Thank you. That's what a middle-aged woman will do, you know?
That's what we do. Got to teach the folks. Got to teach folks.
Right. Keep on living, as they say.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Janae.
Ryan Nicole's EP is Yours Truly. You can buy it on Bandcamp or Apple Music or stream it on Spotify. And catch her in the musical Co-Founders at the ACT Theater in San Francisco. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darton. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rango, our board operators, Damien Miner, and Joanne. Thank you so much for filling in. And our director of audio programming, David Boyer. And thank you for tuning in. It is Pride Weekend. Have a safe and happy Pride this weekend in San Francisco. If you want to do something for Pride that's fun, but more low-key, musician Vicky Randall is putting on a Pride concert at Freight and Salvage in Berkeley this Sunday. If you haven't seen her in concert, go check her out. She's so good. She puts on a good show. You may remember her from The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Also, the Alameda County Fair, that's something to do this weekend. Tower of Power is performing tomorrow. Then there'll be an Elton John tribute on Sunday. And Too Short is performing there tonight at 8 p.m. And enjoy the rest of Black Music Month. Kev Choice is performing at Yoshi's in Oakland on Friday. I will be there on Friday night, and I can't wait. Shout out to Kev Choice. Make sure you go check him out if you haven't seen him or if you have seen him. He also, too, puts on a great show. A loving reminder, go to a show, go to a concert, go to a museum, something. Don't just be at home doom scrolling. Again, I know it's a lot going on. Check out the Ruth Asawa exhibit at SF MoMA. And I'm so excited about this. Watch the new Marvel series Ironheart on Disney Plus. Oakland poet Shanaka Hodge is the head writer, and Ryan Coogler is the executive producer. And actress Dominique Thorne plays the brilliant MIT student who developed armor similar to Iron Man's. And we'll have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Until then, be good to yourselves and each other.